Ezekiel 34, shepherds and sheep. The word of the Lord came to me, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Woe to the shepherds of Israel who only take care of themselves. Should not shepherds take care of the flock? You eat the curds, clothe yourselves with the wool, and slaughter the choice animals. You do not take care of the flock. You have not strengthened the weak, or healed the sick, or bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strays, or searched for the lost. You have ruled them harshly and brutally. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and when they were scattered, they became food for all the wild animals. My sheep wandered over all the mountains and on every high hill. They were scattered over the whole earth, and no one searched or looked for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, because my flock lacks a shepherd, and so has been plundered and has become food for all the wild animals, and because my shepherds did not search for my flock, but cared for themselves rather than for my flock, therefore, O shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. I am against the shepherds and will hold them accountable for my flock. I will remove them from tending the flock so that the shepherds can no longer feed themselves. I will rescue my flock from their mouths, and it will no longer be food for them. For this is what the sovereign Lord says. I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so will I look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on the day of clouds and darkness. I will bring them out from the nations and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them into their own land. I will pasture them on the mountains of Israel, in the ravines, and in all the settlements in the land. I will tend them in a good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel will be their grazing land. There they will lie down in good grazing land, and they will feed in a rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will tend my sheep and make them lie down, declares the sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak, but the sleek and the strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice. As for you, my flock, this is what the sovereign Lord says. I will judge between one sheep and another, and between rams and goats. Is it not enough for you to feed on the good pasture? Must you also trample the rest of your pasture with your feet? Is it not enough for you to drink clear water? Must you also muddy the rest with your feet? Must my flock feed on what you have trampled and drink what you have muddied with your feet? Therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord says to them. See, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep. Because you showed with flank and shoulder, butting all the weak sheep with your horns until you have driven them away, I will save my flock, and they will no longer be plundered. I will judge between one sheep and another. I will place over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he will tend them. He will tend them and be their shepherd. I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David will be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. I will make a covenant of peace with them, and rid the land of wild beasts, so that they may live in the desert and sleep in the forests in safety. I will bless them in the places surrounding my hill. I will send down showers in season. There will be showers of blessings. The trees of the field will yield their fruit, and the ground will yield its crops. The people will be secure in their land. They will know that I am the Lord, when I break the bars of their yoke and rescue them from the hands of those who enslave them. They will no longer be plundered by the nations, nor will wild animals devour them. They will live in safety, and no one will make them afraid. I will provide for them a land renowned for its crops, and they will no longer be victim of famine in the land or bear the scorn of the nations. Then they will know that I, the Lord their God, am with them, and that they, the house of Israel, are my people, declares the sovereign Lord. You, my sheep, the sheep of my pasture, are people, and I am your God, declares the sovereign Lord.
Thank you, Alex. That was a lot to read. I appreciate that. And hopefully you were following it quite well, because we're going to ask in some questions tonight. Okay, so keep the Bible open at Ezekiel 34, right? And we'll see what you notice from this passage. The other passage, I'm not going to read Psalm 23 because I think you all know it rather well, but I might refer to it. But I will just read you a little bit from John 10, starting at verse 11. Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I receive from my Father." When I first looked at these two passages, it's very easy to say, is this a passage about bad shepherds? Because that's how Ezekiel 34 begins. The shepherds aren't really looking after the people at all. They're actually neglecting to look after the people, and the people are getting into all sorts of problems. And those leaders amongst them, those that are meant to be shepherding them, are just not doing the job, and they're getting a bit of a row. So it's kind of like bad shepherds. So I thought, let's balance this. Let's look at what Jesus says. He is the good shepherd. So this must be how God really wants things, not quite the way it was doing. Perhaps that's obvious to you from Ezekiel 34. One interesting thing in the New Testament is that there are three words used for leaders throughout your New Testament and Paul's letters and all the rest. The first one is poimen, right? And it means shepherd or a pastor. So that's kind of the one we're interested in. There's another one, presbyteros, another Greek word, okay? And it means elder. So, I mean, that's why we're in a Presbyterian church, because we believe in the government of elders. So that's, the Church of Scotland is a Presbyterian church, so we have elders. And that's where that, we base it on that Greek word that we see. Right? And there's another one, episkopos, and it means overseer, or it could be bishop. And that's why the Episcopal Church have said, we'll take that word and we'll use that word to describe our leaders. Right? But when Jesus speaks, guess which one he picks? When he says, I'm the good shepherd, which Greek word do you think was used? It's that one. It's that one. It's poimen. It's shepherd, pastor. Because Jesus isn't saying, here I am, I'm the leader. He doesn't have to. He doesn't have to. But he wants to communicate something far, far more important, the style of leadership, the kind of leader that God wants. And it's all about being a shepherd or a pastor. So when we look at these images of Ezekiel 34, and then when we look at John 10, we see that Jesus is showing us more clearly what the picture is really all about. It's all about the kind of leader you are, the kind of person you are. When you look further on in Ezekiel 34, you see that it's not just talking about the leaders, because later on in the chapter, we see that the sheep are getting told off for some of the things that they're doing to one another. So there's quite a lot going on, really, in Ezekiel 34. It's not just the leaders. See, God communicates through many men, and he was communicating something through Ezekiel, the prophet, and Ezekiel was trying to explain how God felt about all this stuff. But when Jesus explains it, God's explaining himself. With Ezekiel, you get, this is what you should do. But with Jesus, you don't just get told what to do. He shows you what to do. He doesn't just say, this is what you must do. He says, this is how you should do it. He shows you. He demonstrates it. Jesus always demonstrated when he taught. If he taught something, he then demonstrated it. In other words, it was real. It wasn't an order. It was, watch this. It's very difficult to follow a leader that just says, go and do something. But if you see a leader who does something and you see merit in what they're doing, there's far more likelihood that you'll follow them. In fact, they probably won't need to say, follow me, will they? You want to follow them because of the way they're leading. Because they're not doing it with authority. They have authority, but they're not using the authority. They're showing you how to walk with God and how to work within the authority of the Spirit. So Jesus had quite a different way of communicating what it was to be a shepherd. And of course, he's identifying himself. We see all the things that Jesus says because we A few weeks ago, we talked about Jesus as the bread of life. And here he is saying, I'm the good shepherd. And there's lots of things that Jesus says about himself. And when you put it all together, you get lots of little facets, lots of little pictures which all connect together. But back to shepherding. So from the good shepherd, we see a very different view of the shepherding. In Ezekiel, we see the responsibility of those who lead and those who follow. But there's a responsibility from both. Shepherds are those who model best practice and inspire others then. That's how I would probably put it. These are the people you want to follow. They're those that don't say, do as I say. They say, do as I do. And it's easy to follow them. Parents, for example, can identify with shepherding quite easily because, and certainly I can think back in my own life of when my children were smaller, although I'm still looking after them, but and they're in their 20s now, but when they were smaller particularly, I had to do a lot more looking after, a lot more shepherding. And I know, as I look back, there are times when I was a good shepherd, but I'm also aware of the fact that there must have been times, and I can think of a few times, when I wasn't such a good shepherd. I didn't really do the job properly, and I made mistakes. But that's human. Everyone makes mistakes. That's not an excuse. But I'm aware of the fact that there are some things I could have done better. And when they were small and they couldn't reach something, or they couldn't see over some obstacles, what I'd do is I'd lift them up. Yes, very common thing to do. A child can't see over the counter or can't see the animals at the zoo or wherever. You lift them up. You lift them up. And that's what God does. And that's what the good shepherd does. The good shepherd is one that lifts you up. That's what the good shepherd will do for you. The good shepherd will lift you up. The sheep. When we look at the sheep, sheep are always getting into trouble. Right? Sheep naturally follow one another. One goes off, the rest start following it. They don't really know why, but one sheep's gone, so the rest go. One sheep goes and falls off the cliff, the next one goes and follows it. You know, it's really quite sad. But, you know, sheep get into holes, can't get out, they get caught up in barbed wire. There's so many things happen with sheep. A shepherd's job is a busy job. Going around, making sure they're all together, there's none of them lost, and making sure they're all safe. It's a hard job. And sheep are just like people, aren't they? People do exactly the same thing as sheep. So no wonder we see this picture drawn of shepherds and sheep, of leaders and those who are following them, the shepherd and the sheep. It's an excellent picture, and it speaks so clearly of how people are. So it's good to have a shepherd that is one like Jesus, who says, do as I do. Right? This is how I want you to be. And you can follow someone like that. And it's terribly important that we do. So Poimen is the one that we want. If we looked at this, at these two passages, particularly those few verses from John 10, but also from Ezekiel 34, what sort of things could we say would be the qualities of a good shepherd? And it's quite easy in a way, because if you look at Ezekiel 34, it's probably the opposite of some of the things that you can read. So can anybody see any of those things that are quite obvious in Ezekiel 34? Right in the second verse, it says they're only looking after themselves. So they're not looking after sheep. So a good shepherd would be looking after the sheep, not just himself. Yeah? So that's one. It says, you've not strengthened the weak. So a good shepherd would be looking for the weak sheep and giving them extra care. Yes? Yes. Yes. Has anybody else found any? I suppose I could do this myself. Ruled harshly and brutally, right, because that's not the way to do it, is it? That's not the way to win people. That's not the way to get them to do things. And we've seen plenty of that in life, presumably. But yes, harshly and brutally. And then they were scattered because there was no shepherd. So what the sheep do is they just scatter in different directions. There's no one there to try and keep them together. And particularly at night, shepherds would have to keep the sheep together because that's when the wolves would come looking for them. And any that were out on the edge, a good chance that they would actually get caught by the wolves or the wild animals. So yes, making sure they don't scatter. There's actually lots and lots there. And here's quite a few, right, that you can actually get from this chapter. So a good shepherd, right, protects the flock against those wild animals, against things that would attack it. A good shepherd gathers the scattered sheep, keeps them together. A good shepherd searches for the lost sheep. And Jesus says that, doesn't it? Because he tells us the parable about the 100 sheep, isn't it? And he's got 99, but one's lost. So he goes looking for the lost sheep. A good shepherd feeds the hungry. Those who are hungry, he makes sure that they're not hungry, that they're fed. He gives rest to the weary. He binds the wounds of the hurt sheep. He strengthens the weak. He restores the tired. He comforts the fearful. He provides for them. And these last few are really important. He knows them by name. That's incredible. How many sheep has Jesus got? And he knows them by name. And he loves the sheep. And it's that word, that Greek word agape, it's a sacrificial love. So when you look at that list, you think, wow, right, yes, that looks right. If we were to say, what does a good shepherd do? There are all the things that a good shepherd would do. Do you agree? Yes. Yes, that's what a good shepherd would do. So what would a bad shepherd do? If those are all the things a good shepherd would do, what are all the things a bad shepherd would do? Yeah, you can almost say failing to do these things. It's as simple as that, isn't it? Because these are the things that we're looking for in a good shepherd. These are the things that Jesus modeled and showed us. This is what the good shepherd's like. So a bad shepherd would be one who doesn't do any of those things, or certainly fails to do those things, and the sheep will be in trouble. At first glance, in Ezekiel 34, we think that this is a rebuke to the leaders, because certainly at the beginning, starts off, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. That's what he says. So basically he's saying, to tell these leaders they're not doing their job. They are not being good shepherds of the people. But looking on in the chapter, I can see quite clearly that it started to deal with the sheep. Because down here he says, as for you, my flock, he says, I will judge between one sheep and another, between rams and goats. And he says, you also trample the rest of your pasture with your feet. It's not enough for you to drink clear water. You must also muddy the rest of the water with your dirty feet, basically. And the flock must feed on what you have trampled and drink what you have muddied. So what's happening is the sheep aren't behaving properly either. Now, that's partly because the shepherds aren't doing their job. They aren't saying, look, this is not the way to behave. But it's also because the sheep are not paying attention either. And they're not caring for one another. The very thing that Jesus says to us very, very clearly in the gospel is love one another. And so it's quite obvious that they are not practicing that. And the stronger ones will be taking the best bits, so the weaker ones can't get at them. So you see, because they're not being modeled the right kind of shepherding from the shepherd, their behavior then is affected. So you see, it's very important who the shepherd is, because the sheep will respond to the good shepherd and they'll respond to the bad shepherd. But the way they respond to the bad shepherd is they get into all sorts of difficulties and they forget that the weaker sheep are just as important as the stronger sheep. So yes, it's the leader's fault, but it's also the sheep. They need to take some responsibility in this. There's also a promise, of course, in Ezekiel 34, that God will take care of his sheep. And that's quite clear at the end. God says he's going to do it. And he also mentions David, doesn't he? He says, I'm going to send you someone like David. Right? David who understood shepherding, because David was, in fact, a shepherd. And he spent a lot of his life, his younger life, as a shepherd on the hills with the sheep. He understood completely all about shepherding. And he became king. And he wrote that Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. So he equated God as being the good shepherd. Long before Jesus came and said, I'm the good shepherd, David already had this figured out, that God was the good shepherd. So, what is a true shepherd? A true shepherd never sees to it that his sheep are scattered or are living just any old way or haphazardly. A true shepherd never and will never say to the sheep, I don't care about you. I'm fed up with you. Go ahead, do whatever you want. I don't care anymore. A true shepherd will not say that. A true shepherd, even when his sheep go astray, will not forsake them, but will always intercede for them and pray that they come home. He'll go looking for them even if one sheep is lost, leaving the rest behind to do that. And we all know that story. So if we move on from there, here is a shepherd. You don't believe me, do you? It doesn't look like a shepherd. Does it look like a shepherd now? Looks like a shepherd. And what's the thing that's sort of obvious to you right there? The heart. The heart. And actually, the most important thing about the shepherd is the heart. What kind of heart has the shepherd got? Has he got a heart to be a good shepherd, or has he got a heart to be a bad shepherd? And actually, it's all about heart, isn't it? It's all about our response. How are we going to respond? The disciples spent 3 years with Jesus, right? But they spent those 3 years with him every day. Every day. The good shepherd was with them. They traveled with him. And he modeled how to do the job. They learnt on the job, didn't they? Every day it was, he would tell them what to do. He would show them what to do. And then at times he'd say to them, now you go and do it. He was training the sheep to become shepherds, wasn't he? That was his purpose. His purpose was to turn these sheep that were following him into shepherds. And the reason for doing that is quite obvious, because he wants them to go and do the same thing, to go out into the world and to the sheep that follow them, turn them into shepherds. Because God's purpose for all of us is that we all become like Christ. That's his purpose, to turn us more and more into images of Jesus Christ. So he wants us to become good shepherds, just like Jesus. So the most important thing about this shepherd is the heart. And that's that word again. Because there are different words in Greek for love, but this is the one that's used throughout the New Testament. And this is the one always used with Jesus, because it's a sacrificial kind of love that the shepherd has. He lays down his life for his sheep, we read, didn't we? Jesus said, I lay down my life freely for the sheep. A sacrificial love. You're good at my expense. So lastly, just to pull this together, we've seen the good shepherd, we've seen the bad shepherding, we understand what it is God's looking for, and he's calling us to follow Jesus. So here's the first question. Now this might be an easy question for you, but it's a question that's loaded with lots and lots of other questions. If Jesus is your shepherd, what has that done to you in your life? How has that changed your life? How has it changed the way you respond in situations? If Jesus is your shepherd, you must be following him. And if you're following him, you can't be doing it at a distance, because a good shepherd stays close to the sheep. Are you close to Jesus? And if Jesus is your shepherd and you're staying close to him, then you're becoming like him. The next question is important. What kind of shepherd are you then? Because that's what happens to the sheep. Jesus calls us to follow him, but following him doesn't mean to remain sheep. We'll always be his sheep, but his heart, his hope, is that we will become shepherds, is that we will see the lost in the world and we'll go out and look for them. Because there's many, many lost sheep out there. And now that we know Jesus and we're found and we're part of the flock, Jesus' hope is that we actually become shepherds too, and that we go out and find those lost sheep. So that's all I've got to say.